Hello and welcome everybody to the first edition of the MLL Roundtable since I think 2013, Brendan. Brendan, what are we doing? But first of all,
we grew up,
the gang's back together. We got Joe from Wexner here. Joe Keegan joins me. Andrew Goldberg along with Brendan Stout. We're here at the MLL Draft, which just ended, I don't know, probably 15 minutes ago. Eight rounds of grueling picks. It seemed like it took forever, didn't it?
It did. You know, guys, you know, I don't even know. It really did.
Time did not fly by.
It didn't. That's for sure.
Anyway, here we are at the MLL draft in the Hilton in some ballroom, bunch of tables. Interesting. You know, draft, I would say for the most part, a lot of guys who we thought would go in the first round kind of dropped pretty far. I mean, Kevin Rice dropped far, in my opinion. Casey Akita, I mean, he dropped really, really far. No surprises, though. Lyle Thompson, first overall. I mean, really quickly, what were your surprises? What were your, I don't know, surprises of the draft?
I was really surprised to see a short stick D midi go number three overall, to tell you the truth.
Two D middies.
Well, in the first round, you know, overall.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, they are great players.
Right.
You know, they would have gone the second round regardless. So, I mean, it's great that, you know, Charlotte picked up Will Hoss and definitely need him after Kevin Drew, I think, got traded, or one of those two, one of them got traded to Charlotte.
Charlotte still has Kevin Drew, Palakonia.
Yeah, Palakonia, Josh Hoffman. So, I mean,
it's sort of a value pick, which is a little weird to say at number three overall.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, Charlotte's now the ACC / Big Ten /
whatever
Patriot League now.
What about you, Joe? What were surprises for you?
Well, like I was saying right before we got in the air, probably the biggest surprise for me is that Ohio traded up to get an offensive player, Jimmy Bitter. I mean, maybe it's more of a need than we know it is, because Logan Schuss does play NLL in the winter, and he's actually out of his NLL commitments right now because he has work commitments prior to that. So if Ohio traded up to get a lefty attackman like Jimmy Bitter, then it kind of makes me a little more nervous that Logan Schuss, his job might be a little more serious than we would like it to be.
And I mean, speaking of Ohio, looking at the team, I mean, I did a draft needs kind of story for PortlandLacrosseLacrosse.com, and one of the things, you know, I think all of us agree on is they don't need offense. They have a great six-person offense, probably one of the best attack line. But now with Schuss's availability, maybe not. But then their second pick was Ryan Izzo from UMass, short stick, the midi. Then they took Matt McMahon, defenseman out of Penn. And they took Tyler Barbarich from Delaware, face-off guy who won 64% of his face-offs. Not a surprise, because Eric O'Brien did not play well last year, and they had Ditlio.
Bobby Dottillo.
Yeah, Bobby Dottillo. Sorry. Good. That's good for me, right? I don't know, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, he took more of the faceoffs towards the end, and actually won, I think it was 54% of his faceoffs. So this was a move that made sense. In your opinion, I guess, guys, was Barbarich the third or fourth best faceoff man in this draft behind Massa, Rafa, and then Nardella?
I have no idea. I mean, it's impossible to compare them to each other because the face-off game translates so differently from NCAA to MLL. If you look at Brendan Fowler, he was the 15th overall pick last year, and he had an okay season in MLL.
Right, kind of struggled.
He didn't come in, and I mean, it's not like he was basically treading water. I would say that from what I've seen, Rafa is definitely the best. I'm just saying that because he beat Massa head-to-head pretty brutally with Maryland Clay Bryant. I don't know how to compare Massa to Nick Saputo out of Drexel. But
didn't even get drafted.
He didn't get drafted, and I like him a lot. I mean, if you remember the Drexel Penn tournament game, it was an awesome game to watch. And they scored 3 goals in 11 seconds. He scored 2 of them.
Yeah, and that was one big thing that really made him stand out above all the rest of the faceoff guys was the fact that he scored those 2 goals in 11 seconds. One thing I do remember is sitting there watching the Denver Drexel game. Saputo, you know, he wasn't top notch in that game, if I remember correctly. So I mean, that might have, you know, went against him. But you know, it depends. You know, matchups. It's all about matchups too in the game.
A lot of face-offs too. It comes down to what kind of work you put in studying and so like getting your body in shape after college. It doesn't really matter where you went to college. If you look at, I mean, some of not the top tier, not the Grenlands and X, but like Craig Bunker and John Ortolani are two. Bunker doesn't get as much time because he's behind Chris Eck, but John Ortolani took a leap this year. He made a case for himself as a starter in this league for years to come. He went to Endicott. Craig Bunker went to, I'm going to get it wrong, a school in Maine. I think it was Colby. I think it was Colby College.
We're always wrong on this podcast.
He didn't go D1, but I mean the kid can play, and it's because they get together and they put in work and they watch film. And
yeah. The one thing I was really interested to see with Ohio is they only drafted the one goalie.
Austin guys, they're at
a high point. Yeah. Watched High Point last year. I mean they didn't have the most spectacular season. They're just getting off the ground and whatnot. And they've got some good recruits coming in from Jersey, I watched play. I was really surprised that they didn't try and go out to Poyon or somebody like that. I mean, I know Poyon's short, but at the same time, he's really good. He's got great vision of the ball and whatnot. You got Phipps and Rogers, who are absolutely phenomenal between the pipes. And Rogers is a big mass, and Phipps is short, but he's also somewhat wide.
So if you look at their stats, they have the same exact, essentially, goals against average, but Rogers actually played much better in terms of save percentage.
Yeah.
Granted, it was in less time, but I'm thinking that they're probably better off starting Rogers than they are Phipps. Oh, I know Phipps was their guy.
Absolutely. But I was just, I'm just surprised. Like, again, like I said in our live cast, the coaches, they coach. They're not just players, they coach.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the season, you're going to be missing those guys.
Yeah, Phipps was gone.
Exactly, Phipps was gone, and Rogers is probably been gone. I think he's coaching Marquette now, or Towson, one of the two. I forget where he's at now.
Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I need a goalie. In the beginning, I mean, you have Will Haas and Schroeder, and Schroeder's been a vet for a while, but he's not the best.
He's
the goaltender that you can. No offense to Schroeder, but you can definitely pick somebody else.
You think they took it for granted that nobody was going to lead for Poyon because everybody kind of has. I mean, besides New York, who did take Matt Poyon. Everybody has their starter and sort of a solid back.
Yeah, like a very solid back. I think they did take it for granted. I mean, Rogers and Phipps, you're not two very capable starters. One starter, one's backup. Either one can do either job. But I think they did take it a little bit for granted. With waiting to possibly pick up Poyon or one of the other goaltenders that was available.
Yeah, but that's funny because Rochester took Sam Summers, goalie at Army. He's very good. He missed some time last year, though. But he was the second to last pick for Rochester. Ohio took Geisler with their third to last pick. So why didn't they take Sam Summers? Is it too much of the Army commitment? I mean, you saw Boston with Lessner take the second round, fifth overall. But they took him very high, especially for an Army guy. And all these Army guys we've seen, they haven't exactly played immediately. I think Thule did somewhat, but then he missed some time and didn't really play last year. And I think he was a supplemental pick this year, right?
Yeah, he was first pick in the supplemental draft, I guess. He'll be able to make most of the games. He's stationed in North Carolina, and he should be able to make most of the games, which, I mean, fingers crossed for the sport.
Absolutely.
He's got a cannon.
Oh, my God, I love it.
That's huge for sure. If he can play.
Apparently, Army guys, all they do is just rip corners.
No, it's disgusting.
Him, Glessner, and apparently his brother,
the younger
Glessner's like much better than him, which is very scary.
Good boy.
So, look sorry out. For whoever out, Army has to face with both of them. Well,
then you go back to the whole commitment for the military. You probably saw that Poyang got taken. They said they probably took it for granted that he was going to go so late, and then ended up not going late. And then you see Somers is available, but he's also Army, and they need someone to step up right away in a sense. So then you got to go for the next best one, which obviously was Geisinger.
Yeah, and that was a value pick for Rochester because they have Galloway, who's just a stud.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But let's look at Boston. You're from Boston. You're not exactly a fan of them. You do. We were talking earlier, and you were saying, I don't have a favorite team. I'm just, general fan for this sport.
Right. Yeah.
So they're pairing Ryan Tucker with last year's first-round pick in
Rob Emery,
right? So they reunite them. And you get Will Stanwyck, who I really like out of Johns Hopkins. He's probably the best passer in the draft, I would say. Outside of Bob Thompson. And they got Brian.
I think everything goes. Can we just say, anything about a guy, he's the best at this, and then it's just implied that that's besides Lyle Thompson.
I'm just going to say the rest of the podcast. This guy's good, except for Lyle Thompson.
Better,
right?
He passes better, he rides harder. Yeah. He's a lot of talent.
But I want to bring up one point because you talked about, what's his name was a better good face-off man behind Eck, but they took Nardella, who I think is really good and really underrated in the draft just because he played at Rutgers. He won 63% of his faceoffs, and he was a threat in transition for Rutgers. So how's that going to figure in with Eck? And then you got Nardella, and then you got, I forgot. What's his name?
You got Craig Bunker.
You can see my knowledge is very expansive. Maybe that's why we took a year off, right, Brendan?
Yeah. It didn't help.
Clearly, it did not help.
Yeah, I don't know what. I'm not sure what the thought process with that pick was. Maybe Nardella's just a guy that they had high on their board and they said, hey, he's here. Right? Yeah, it's just a value pick. A lot of those picks late. Only a couple players on each team are going to stick from this draft. Maybe more so for Boston because they did have some holes. They got three offensive players that can come in and play in Tucker, Blesner, and Stanwyck. And then maybe for Florida because they did kind of have a thin midfield. And then they bring in Tutton, Busick, and Lucchesio. So other than that, these teams pretty much have their roster set. It's before the supplemental draft, they were pretty loaded rosters. So
that's a nature of
sport. Do you take a ninth long pole or a third face-off guy? Because Eck does have injury problems in the past.
Yeah, he does.
He has a history.
It is a great pickup for, and just talking about Eck having injury problems, and Boston needs that. If Eck does end up having problems again, you're gonna need that other face-off guy. And Bunker's a good backup if you need him to go in for a couple face-offs during the game, but I don't think he's capable of playing the entire game. So that's why I think Nardella's gonna learn well from that and really hopefully prosper in the league.
Yeah, let's look at the Florida launch because I really liked what they did in the draft, and they got an absolute steal of Kevin Rice in the third round. I don't know how or why he dropped that far. I don't know about you guys, but he played his best towards the end of the year when Syracuse made their little championship run before they lost. But Joe Cassio, great player, Marilyn Tutton, probably one of the top options in the midfield for North Carolina. Busick is first team All-American for Cornell and probably the top overall midfielder in the draft. And Lyle Thompson gets the pair with Casey Powell and Kevin Cunningham and
Kieran McArdle.
It's just who do you stop on that offense? And you got
going four or five deep. Okay. Yeah, you're going four or five deep with Tappan that can all play well.
Which is great. So you're probably going to see Casey go back to midfield probably. If they're
Think they run Kevin Rice or one of these guys out of midfield?
I don't think so. Well, Kieran maybe, but I think I see Casey because Casey ran midi with the Chesapeake Bay Hawks.
Kieran McCarle did run out of the box last year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Kieran will, and I know Casey probably, might. Because when he played with Chesapeake, when he went on that two. Thank you.